The Supreme Court will consider a case on Wednesday that challenges one of Obamacare's key provisions, subsidies that make coverage affordable for millions of people who get insurance through federally run online marketplaces. The fate of the law could boil down to one single word in a 900-page document. That's according to Lisa McElroy, a Drexel University law professor and Supreme Court watcher who's here to talk about the case. Lisa, thanks for joining us.
Hey, this is such an interesting case, Carolyn.
So the lawsuit targets 34 states that have opted out of running their own state insurance online exchanges, right? And is having the federal government run them instead. So what are the challengers saying is illegal about giving subsidies through these federally run online marketplaces?
Well, the Affordable Care Act is a very, very long statute. It's about 900 pages long. And if you remember back in 2012, when they first looked at the statute, the court did, there was some speculation of have the justices even read this whole thing. But there is a little tiny provision in the ACA that says that for someone to get a subsidy, they have to purchase insurance on an exchange established by the state. And so the argument of the people who are opposing this, the ACA, is that people who buy their insurance on the federal exchanges are not eligible for those subsidies, and that's very clear right there in the language.
So only allowed to get a subsidy if you are in a state exchange. What is the federal government's answer to this argument?
Well, the federal government's answer to this argument is twofold. One, they say, that's not what Congress intended. And that's very, very clear if you look at the rest of the Affordable Care Act, in which there are lots and lots of different places where they talk about exchanges generally, where they talk about the subsidies more generally. And they say that in order to read the statute like this, you almost have to force it to work like this. Of course, the other thing that the federal government has said as recently as a couple of days ago is that essentially, what the challengers are trying to do is take down the whole ACA, that if you get rid of the ability of all these people to get their subsidies, they're not going to be able to buy the insurance and the ACA will crash.
So you were talking about the plaintiffs in this case, four plaintiffs, and there has been some discussion about whether or not these four individuals actually have standing, so the right to bring this case.
Right. So standing is the right that a plaintiff has to bring a case in federal court. And what the court has required pretty much for the history of the doctrine, is that in order to bring your case, you have to be able to show that you have personally suffered some injury. So I can't bring a case on behalf of my husband, and he can't bring a case on behalf of me. I have to bring it myself. The issue that has arisen recently is that people are starting to question whether these particular four plaintiffs have actually been harmed, whether they would need to buy insurance on the exchange at all, because they're eligible for other forms of insurance or of health care. For example, two of them are Vietnam vets and therefore would be eligible for VA health care, wouldn't need to get insurance through the exchanges. What that does is it makes it possible that this case could go away if the standing issue, if the court said, you brought the case with the wrong people, we can't properly decide it.
So what will you be looking for when the news comes out on Wednesday about what kinds of questions the justices were asking? How much could that sort of tip their hand a little bit and tell you which way they were leaning on this?
So what they're going to be asking about a lot is what those words in the statute mean. And there are some justices on the court who think that you just look at the words, and if the words seem pretty clear, then you go with what the plain text says. Here it says an exchange established by the state. And the challengers are saying an eighth grader could understand that, right? It's very, very clear. On the other hand, the justices also like to look at a statute in context. So when they look at the language in one part, they don't want to make that mean something that would be inconsistent with the rest of the statute. So some of them will be asking questions about, well, if we say it's only state exchanges, then how is that going to work exactly? Because the rest of the statute won't make any sense. And then they'll certainly be asking about consequences. They'll certainly say, isn't this going to basically rip a huge hole in this statute? Won't it make the whole thing fall? And in fact, there's been really, really interesting commentary on the fact that back in 2012, when the court decided this case, the dissenters, the conservative justices, actually said, yes, take away the subsidies and the whole ACA falls. So that language is likely to be used against them.
When is the decision likely to come down on this case?
Well, the court always decides all of its cases by the end of June. Now, you should know that that's not an official date. It's just a date that's sort of customary. Given that this isn't being argued until next week on March 4th, and the end of the term will be the end of June, that really only gives them, what, about 12 weeks or so? Maybe it's 15 or so weeks. Not a long time if you're writing a very historic opinion that has huge impact.
So we'll all be watching until June to see what the court says. Lisa, thanks so much for joining us and explaining this all.
Thank you, Carolyn. It was fun.
Lisa McElroy is a law professor at Drexel University, briefing us on the King versus Burwell Supreme Court case to be heard Wednesday in Washington.